Do you want to make more money? Sure, we all do. So call this free number to find out how easy it is to train at home for a better career. At System Mastery, more than 2 listeners have become better gamers without setting foot at a gaming table. And now at home in your spare time, you can get your sense of moral superiority or even your degree. Choose from any one of these courses: rolling, fudging the dice, character creation, Sprechenhaltestell, learning the personal computer, game design, City of Violence, Being in Character, Doritos Maintenance, The Occult, Duckman, Fat Knife Clowning, Dice Ownership, Rules Enhancement, TV VCR Repair, or get your degree. You can choose from Game Mastering or Accounting. Compare your current gaming experience to what you could be earning through System Mastery, and call today. We'll repeat all the courses available at the end of this commercial, so have a pencil ready to take down your favorite course, and then call this toll-free number. We'll send you a podcast absolutely free with all the information you'll need. Call now!
Huge wieners, great.
Great big ol' wieners.
Just wieners everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because the 4th of July is coming, and if you need hot dogs, get your wieners today.
Yeah, it's Sam's House of Wieners.
Yeah.
They also got sausage.
Just make sure you don't go to Bill's House of Wieners. That is an entirely different experience.
Yeah, they also got sausage.
Hey.
All right, so this is the Afterthought Podcast, the podcast companion piece to System Mastery, where me, Jeff, and my co-host, John, discuss topics of interest. Normally, on the System Mastery podcast, we discuss role-playing games of no interest. But here, we can cut loose and discuss whatever we want.
Yep, it is the one podcast you'll find anywhere on the internet where two big idiots discuss things and answer questions. There's no one else that does this.
Oh yeah,
we are unique.
I think it's entirely unique. No one has ever attempted before a discussion podcast where two jackasses jabber back and forth at each other about nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're breaking ground here.
If you would like an hour-long McDonald's commercial, this is the place to come to. Also, fresh cracked egg.
Mm.
Right? Oh, it angers me so much. Who cares when the egg was cracked? That's so stupid. How old is the egg? That's the only part that matters.
Well, I mean, when you cracked it, kind of matters. Like, if I cooked up an egg and then I was like, I made this for you 4 hours ago, you want it?
Or what if they just didn't crack it? They were like, here's your Egg McMuffin. It's just an egg. Just an egg on a bun.
Oh, God, why?
Why hasn't this been cracked? You needed to crack these.
And then you bite into it and just get that gooey shit all up in your mouth.
Well, I like to think it's perfectly cooked inside. I mean, all they do is microwave them for like 30 seconds.
So no, I like to think it's just a raw egg.
Well, that's okay. It's an uncracked, uncooked egg on an English muffin.
Yeah.
Also, there's a slice of cheese on there. Some bacon if you're fancy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a traditional British breakfast, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. I think you're right. That's got English muffin right in the name.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that's called the mum's your egg.
Mum's your egg.
Yeah, the mum's your egg.
Now, see, I'm used to British food using something that's not the word of the food in the title, like a different food, so they'd probably call it, like, the Queen's pudding or something.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just an egg with on an English muffin. Yeah,
yeah, it's the Cracklin' Sunrise.
The Cracklin' Sunrise. The McDonald's Cracklin' Sunrise coming soon to you.
The McCracklin' Sunrise.
All we did was infuse maple syrup into every egg.
Oh my God, what the fuck are we talking about?
I have no idea. All right, so what was the book that we discussed in the week previous?
We read Ravenstar.
That's correct. We read Ravenstar, which was an RPG about kind of science fiction.
Frontiersland.
Cyborgs up in the space with magic and what have you, and there's bears and cats.
Oh my.
Yeah. Lions and tigers and bears.
Yeah.
And humans and elves and dwarves. Little tiny-headed humans.
Little baby-head humans.
Yep. We cast about far and wide. This book was kind of boring, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just, it looks like a million other sci-fi space books. So we cast about for a while to try and come up with what we wanted our companion piece podcast discussion topic to be.
Yeah, we usually like to tie it into what we have reviewed in some way, whether it's because of an actual thing they did in the game, or just a topic that they cover in the game that's interesting that we had opinions about. And this week, We have been inspired by our own character creations.
That's right. So, in a desperate attempt to tie our upcoming discussion to Ravenstar in some way, if you look in Ravenstar's skill section, you'll find a problem that you'll occur in a lot of early role-playing games. You'll find occurring in a lot of early role-playing games.
And even some more modernish ones.
Yeah, which is that the seduction rule is in there, the one you can use to seduce NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it doesn't say NPCs in there, so if you want to try and seduce other PCs, you can go for it. That's fun.
Which, you always hear these horrible tales about at people's tables where they're like, oh yeah, and then someone had whatever skill in seduction, and they were like, all right, well, I make your PC have sex with me.
Yeah, or I just use the spell that lets me do that.
Oh yeah.
Ugh, God. If you've ever played at one of those tables that's got the sex happening between player characters and forced sex of any kind and gross...
The wizard casts Rohypnol.
Yeah, any of that, that is unpleasant, and we want to hear all about it. So if you've been at one of those gross sex tables and you've had to escape from it, write in. We want to know.
Or if you've ever been at a gross sex party, just let us know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you have pictures of a gross sex party, you know, maybe someone's a juggalo.
Yeah. Dear System Mastery, I never thought it would happen to me.
I didn't think it would happen to you either. That's amazing. I feel like Penthouse should answer those letters like that.
Oh, they should. Dear, like, wow, that's fucking weird.
Dear writer, I find it most unusual that you found yourself in such a parturient condition while engaging in the simple act of television repair.
TV VCR repair.
Or get your degree. Okay, so the seduction rule in the Ravenstar book is very specifically, you can use this on members of the opposite sex.
And you see that in the seduction rules. You see it in merit and flaws systems where mm-hmm. you get the merit of, like, you're sexy, and it says, people of the opposite sex will often treat you as being super awesome, and you get a bonus to interacting with them.
And that's really bad and annoying and, you know, kind of regressive. I mean, I don't want to say regressive about a book from 1995, because back then they still thought gay people were, like, mysterious figures from history that didn't do anything but befriend the main female in romantic comedies.
At that point in time, I'm pretty sure it was just, the gays are, I don't know, floating bags of advice and AIDS.
Yeah, that's all they do. They float around dispensing AIDS and rainbow scarves to each other.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a dark time.
A very dark time.
I mean, I want to say I'm old enough to have been there, but I was 15, and there wasn't really much happening to me in that time period that I didn't know I was bi yet. So anyway, a lot of old books have this problem, and worse. Every once in a while, you find one that's even worse, and instead of saying members or only members of the opposite sex are attracted to you, they throw in the gay people also might fall for this, but they make it sound creepy or gross.
But watch out.
Yeah. I can't even think of one off the top of my head, but I know I've read books where that is an occurrence, where it's like, members of the opposite sex will find you irresistible. Also, dark sodomites will, too. DM, make sure to have a dark sodomite show up.
Oh my god, I want to play dark sodomite now in, like, a superhero game.
I kind of
want to
play Darth Sodomite.
Join the gay side.
Darth Sodomite is what I am going as to Pride this year. That's happening.
Oh my god, I need that. I need that in my life real bad.
Just imagine what his lightsaber looks like.
I am imagining it.
It's in your head, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's going to be somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. It's got that little pop-out secondary lightsaber.
Yeah, it's basically like the dildo bat from the Saints Row.
Yeah.
And then the side is just two butt plugs.
God damn it, that's crazy. Oh yeah, because it's the new style of lightsaber with the hilt, and the hilt is butt plugs.
Yeah.
And people are complaining about it. They're like, how does the laser form into those two stupid butt plugs?
Oh my god, why is there not a light dildo? Come on now.
I don't know, probably because it would cut your vagina clean off.
No, I mean like one that just lights up and is not an actual one. I'm saying in the real world.
Oh, there is. There's got to be.
There has to be. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, it's not going to be called a lightsaber because, you know, licensing and what have you. But there is literally no way there isn't a lightsaber vibrator out there in the world. Like, no way. In fact, I'm sure there's so many that they have all kinds of different colors and features. Like, maybe there's one where there's a camera in the tip. I mean,
come on, give me one where I can press a button and, like, Yoda talks to me.
Oh, that'd be pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Do or do not. I can't do a Yoda at all.
Yoda!
You know,
Yoda!
I forgot to take my voice up. Hi! Yoda! Yeah, okay, I can kind of do it.
You gotta get there, eventually.
I got it. So yeah, I wouldn't mind having one that just makes a Chewbacca roar when you press the button.
Yeah, No, it just vibrates like that. It just goes.
What the hell are we talking about? Oh, yeah, Darth Sodomite, which came
Yeah, that's
from,
right.
Okay, so this is old school game design when you refuse to acknowledge gays in any way. Like, not only. I'm not saying that a game needs to 100% start off the bat with, like, your character can be gay if they want. But when it's like, oh, yeah, seduction only works on members of the opposite sex, that's annoying design, especially to someone, a queer gamer like myself.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to bring that up and talk about queer inclusion in gaming and what's wrong and how we can fix it and what's going to happen going forward, like how the world is already changing.
Well, I think a big part of it is it stemmed from that old school idea of game design where it was rules for everything
mm-hmm.
that was trying to simulate all the stuff that you could do. And so, rather than things like, we'll let you decide whether something works on something or not, or what the rules outside of, like, a combat situation would be, they wanted to codify everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming from a perspective that, even if it's not, like, particularly discriminatory, but you just don't think of anyone as, like, oh, yeah, and a gay person might be playing, so I'll include something about that, you just go, oh, it's just me and my buddies. I'm writing a thing for me and my buddies.
Yeah. And I feel like every single time I ever encountered gay or homosexual design in early RPGs, it was negative. Like, every time. It'd be, like, a result on a chart that you didn't want to roll.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be like, oh, you have to roll for insanity, and you rolled being a big old queermo on the chart.
That is that's a black stain on Palladium, I believe, yep. is the problem. Is that in early, early Palladium games, like the first drafts of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness, you could get homosexuality as an insanity.
Yep, that was the one that I was thinking of where I went, God, that is just the worst.
And, you know, we've come a long way since then. I mean, we spend all of our time diving into crappy old games. But if you read, and I hate to even give this game any amount of credit at all, but there's an opening paragraph in a sidebar in 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons that basically asks for tolerance and inclusion.
Yeah.
It says you can play whatever race you want, you can play as whatever sexuality or gender is interesting to you, it doesn't matter, it has no bearing on the game, just do it and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing where, unfortunately, that paragraph attracted a ton of hate. Like, you know, from your 4chans and your EN worlds and what have you.
Yeah.
That where people were like, well, how dare they? I don't need to have any kind of sexuality mentioned in my game at all. Yeah, you do. Because we're at a negative right now. If just taking mentions of sexuality at all out of games won't fix the problem. It'll just leave an old problem. There needs to be corrective measures. You need to say, hey guys, quit being mean to the gay guy in your party.
Especially in something like D&D, I think it's nice to include that. I mean, when you're talking about, like, oh, I picked up a new Fate book and it doesn't mention anything because the whole point of Fate is that it's just whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
The fact that historically games like D&D and the ones that branched off from that were, like I'd mentioned before, very rules-heavy, very simulationist as far as what they want the game to be, have been anti-homosexual or diversity or anything like that. The fact that they would then include a bar that says, yes, do whatever you want, don't be a dick about it, is real good.
Yeah, D&D needs to take that a step further. Because that's a great solution. They could use that solution for a lot in the D&D world. They could say, hey guys, we don't care if fighters historically didn't actually use pole arms to kill skeletons. Let players do it, it's fine.
Yeah.
You don't need to give them special damage resistance so that skeletons are immune to pole arms or whatever. Just let players have fun. This isn't a historical simulator, it's a cool adventure.
Yeah, you're playing as an awesome hero, not some chump in the background of a movie.
Yeah, it's funny because they've made the first step to doing that with the sexuality gender thing that they have in there, which is basically saying, hey guys, we know that there are a ton of our fan base who are old weirdos who will be like, oh, no queer would ever fight in a war. They don't know how to swing a sword historically. They were killed instead. So you can't play as a gay fighter.
Ugh.
And so,
you can, however, play as a gay fighter.
Yeah, you can play. Sure, you can play as a gay fighter, otherwise known as a wizard.
Yeah.
Sure, I guess. But that's just it's nice to see that sort of thing fixed in certain games. And you're right, it doesn't really need to be in newer games that don't have that stigma or that history. Nobilis, for example, probably doesn't need to mention that it's okay to play a gay person. Nobilis should more or less mention, if you forgot to play a gay person, go back!
Please go back and put that on your sheet.
Yeah. Or same thing, probably, I'm going to guess, with Exalted or, you know, Vampire.
Well, yeah, that was one of the nice things to come out of the White Wolf games is as much as they suffered from the for matures only.
Oh, God, especially the early stuff.
Oh, yeah, the early stuff where it was just like, we're going to talk about sexy death sex.
Here's a picture of some period blood.
Oh, yeah, but at least those games were far more inclusive of, yeah, here's a major NPC that is powerful, well-respected, and a mover and shaker in the community that's like, yeah, he's totally a gay guy, and he has multiple gay guys in his harem, and he's super powerful, and no one cares. Like, no one gives a shit about that because he's an amazing badass.
Well, yeah, and also because vampires can't reproduce, and I think we all know that the reason that everyone hates gay marriage is because it doesn't lead to more babies, right?
That's why they always end up camping when there's a marriage between two people and one's infertile. They're like, this is an abomination against the Lord.
You two old people can't get married in that home. One of you has passed through menopause. This is horrible.
This is a sham.
You're both going to hell. We're both kind of. You can probably tell by now that this episode was recorded after the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
So, how happy we are to see the nation not come apart at the seams has been overwhelming. We're both thrilled. I think because I'm of that group, I'm part of the queer in it group. I'm especially thrilled to see this happen.
Yeah, and
not John. John hates it.
No, I hate everything. But I had mentioned this to some other people, but my favorite thing was the day after the ruling on that, I wake up to find that the top three trending stories were an ugly dog, a very pretty gorilla, and a deep fried cheeseburger. Thank you, America. Nothing will change you. You are just as terrible as you were.
Yeah, I mean, it might be because we're in California, which now I know, according to the dissenting argument from Antonin Scalia, we just don't count.
Yeah, does not count as the West Coast.
California doesn't count. That's what we took away from his...
Well, of course California doesn't count. Just ask a hippie.
Oh, if you're listening, please go and hug a conservative today. They could use it. They've had a tough week. All right, so anyway, I think that inclusion is going to become more and more of a thing in games. There's a big problem in the game industry and game design, which is that a lot of people try to advertise and market specifically to the past, because they perceive that as their money maker, because, you know, games industry has slowed down a bit. There aren't people buying new games at the same pace that there used to be. So they think, well, we need to hold on to all these old fans. Let's make stuff they like.
Yeah, there's this feeling that instead of reaching out to new players because there isn't a big new player base in their mind, they think they've got the people that were 12 when they first started playing are now old enough to have actual jobs and salaries, and we are just going to try and milk them for as much as possible.
Which is a weird proposition, because most of those people are firmly entrenched in their favorite game and don't want your new thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the guy who loves, like, second edition AD&D.
Yeah.
He isn't gonna go out there and be like, well, I need to go buy some new Pathfinder thing, because he's just gonna keep playing his edition. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, it's a tough market, I guess. But the problem is that leads to people continuing to endorse homophobia and so on. Oh, our game still has mean stuff about the gays in it, because we gotta appeal to 70-year-old guys with big bushy beards.
Oh, yeah. We need to make sure that, all of our elves are insinuated to be homosexual queermos in some way. We need to make sure that every female is completely naked from everything except the nipples.
Yeah. Oh, God. I've been looking at the RPG that's attached to Malifaux recently. You know Malifaux, like, yeah. that miniatures game? And every woman in it is basically like a cheerleader with her butt out and her boobs out at the same time.
Yep.
It's just like, come on.
That classic pose that everyone always strikes naturally.
Yeah, the turn your torso around at a weird angle so that you can see all the goods.
Yeah.
Ugh. That pose is surprisingly hard to duplicate in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a big old fat beardo like us.
I know. Yeah, I can't do it. I mean, it's real easy to see my boobs from the back. There's no problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just getting a good angle on them is real tricky. All right. So, if I were to take a message away from the 5th edition D&D inclusion, don't fight stuff like that. It doesn't matter. It's a little sidebar in the book. Let it happen. Let it push forward. If it doesn't affect your game, that's great, because you probably already have a game with a group of people that you like.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you look at something like just a sidebar, when people get all up in arms over something like that, I go, this isn't even like they put something in the book where you now have to roll randomly for your sexuality, and maybe you're going to have to play a gay guy now. Ugh. Like, no, man, just stop it. Just chill the fuck out.
Remember when we had that, I think it was one of the anime games we did, where one of the results you could get was like some young, and then you could also roll up, it was Maid.
Yeah,
Maid had you could be attracted to little girls, or you're forced to be a lesbian.
Yep.
Was in there, which was some definite kind of fetishy nonsense from that game, which you have to kind of expect.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if you have a game that's like, what is this? It's the Rainbow Adventures, and you have to be queer in some way. You go, okay, well, yeah, but that's the game you're playing. In the same way that I expect Maid to be kind of horrible and fetishy because that's the game you're playing.
I don't really want someone to fix Maid, I guess. That's where I'm coming from with this. Just keep being a horrible cautionary tale. All right. I think we've managed to stay on topic for a surprising amount of time.
Yeah, longer than we normally do.
Which is good, so...
Yeah, because normally we're on topic for like 5 minutes before we just completely go insane.
Right, so I think we should celebrate by leaving the topic behind and doing other things instead. We actually have more to cover this week than we almost ever do on Afterthought, so I think this is just a great example of us being annoying ditherers, because now we gotta stuff a lot of stuff into the back half.
Yeah, we do.
Ho-ho! I thought we were getting off topic!
Come on!
All right. So, let's start with the poll results. We said...
Wait a minute. Okay.
All right. It's going to be a tough rest of this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, so, it's going to be real hard.
God damn it. All right.
The poll.
Let me see if I can just slide this in here. The poll. Slide in the poll.
Yeah. Let's just get that poll in there.
All right. 2 weeks ago, on our last Afterthought, we intimated that we'd be holding an Afterthought poll, where we'd actually put some questions on the website and ask people to come and answer them for our own amusement and edification.
Yeah, apparently only idiots heard that, though, as you will find out in the results of our poll.
John is deeply, deeply salty, because I'd say maybe two of the questions were actual conflicts between him and me, and they both came down in my side, but we'll get there.
I'm pretty sure that I have become Poseidon, Lord of the Oceans, with how salty I am right now.
He's cried a river of tears. And then he got in his pout boat and sailed off into the sunset. So we said in 2 weeks we'd cover the results of these polls, so let's get right to it. First one, select the objectively best Ninja Turtle. And we had Donatello and Michelangelo, which are our favorite turtles, Donatello being mine, and John prefers Mikey.
Yep.
That's right. And then, because we don't care if you like the other turtles, we rolled the other two, or four, or however many other turtles there
Whatever,
are.
Venus de Milo, yeah, and all that.
Let's see, there's also Botticelli, the gay turtle.
Rembrandt,
let's see, Slash, and either Toka or Rezar, I always forget which one.
Toka?
I think it's Toka. It's probably Toka.
Yeah, he looks like he, puts a fat spliff up. You know, he's Toka.
You saying Toka's 420 friendly?
He's a midnight Toka.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. God damn it. Anyway, with a significant win at nearly 50% of the poll, Donatello pulls away, has 48 votes over 21 votes for Michelangelo. So more than twice as many people prefer Donatello to Michelangelo.
Nerds!
Yeah, that's what the podcast is. That's I know how to work a crowd. I know to take the populist choice. I mean, you may have your pride, but I'm going to the White House.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the Bernie Sanders of,
Bernie Sanders is also a known Michelangelo fan.
Yeah, it's known.
Yeah, it's one, well, if one it's thing, well regarded.
If there's one thing we know about Bernie Sanders is that he is a party dude.
Yeah, he never turns down a gross pizza.
A communist party dude, am I right?
You sound like you're from the Foot Party. My dumb combination of the Foot Clan and the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Tea Foot.
Anyway, the saddest thing about this poll result is that one of the other turtles, Are You Even Serious?, got 29 votes, meaning that more people prefer the other turtles rolled together than Michelangelo. So you're really down in the dumps on this one.
It's true.
I'm sorry. You know what we probably should have done is broken that out, because I bet if that was broken out into the other turtles, then you'd be in second place instead of stuck at third.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, when I was writing the poll, I thought to myself, what if someone prefers Leonardo or Raphael? And I'm like, oh, well, they're objectively wrong, and I don't care.
Yeah. No, that's the problem is Raphael is a horrible, dumb, whiny baby.
Whites.
green guilt.
Anyway, that's, yeah. So we didn't care about the other results, but it turned out that the people who do managed to push out Michelangelo, but not Donatello, who stands firm and supreme.
Yeah, with his giant wood
stick. Giant wood stick. All right, next question was, select your favorite Cheese Dudes menu item. And we only included a small sampling of Cheese Dudes menu items here. There are actually quite a few that weren't on the list, and in future polls we'll probably put in more of the fantastic items you can get at your local Cheese Dudes. Cheese Dudes, stop by today.
This has been brought to you by Cheese Dudes, a fine family establishment in your neighborhood.
Yeah, there you go. So moving right along, Ball Jacks took the win on this one. Woo! This is someplace where John can be happy. Ball Jacks was his baby.
Yep.
So that one had 25 votes over 20 votes for the next closest winner, which was the Party Mexican Fiesta Platterito, which is a Cheese Dudes menu item I made up while writing the poll. So grats to that. Then it beat Yump and Mold Yump Deluxe, which sadly I think we're splitting a vote.
Oh yeah, no, that was definitely a Nader Gore.
Yeah, that was definitely a problem. If we had just put in regular Yump and left it at that, then I think it may have actually been the top contender, because it would have picked up 35 votes.
It's possible.
But whatever, Ball Jacks brings it home. And trailing, actually tied with Mold Yump Deluxe, is the seasonally available Butternut Log. Now you understand why that one's so far down in the polls. It's not currently seasonally available.
Oh yeah. You do have to remember that the Butternut Log is just a stick of butter rolled in nuts.
Yeah, and peanuts, too. It's not good nuts.
No, it's basically like a payday, but instead of caramel, it's just butter.
Yeah, it's just butter, just a stick of butter. And unlike a payday, it's rolled in unshelled peanuts.
Yeah.
It's a weird menu item.
That's why it's only seasonally available.
Yeah, it's available in February, and that's it. And I'm not sure why, what holiday that attaches to, but I do know it's a fine menu item and you should pick one up.
I was pretty sure it was there for Lincoln's birthday.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
because Lincoln obviously historically loved the Butternut Log. That was one of his menu items that he would give to his cabinet.
Yeah, I think he grew up in a Butternut Log. Or he spent a lot of time splitting Butternut Logs. Or did he go to law school on a Butternut Log?
Yeah, he went to log school.
They went to log school. I believe he said a Butternut Log divided against itself cannot stand.
That's true. That's a famous quote from him.
Yeah, it is. I believe. Yeah, okay, great. So there you go. Ball Jacks, take it home. Next question. Is Freeze Frame a good karaoke song? I want to say right off the bat that no beat yes here. There are 30 no's and 3 yeses. So a lot of people think that Freeze Frame is not a good karaoke song. I understand why. It's got multiple voices. It's got some whip snap timing changes.
And it's mostly just some synthy music, and then occasionally you get to jump in.
Yeah, which, you know, if you don't want to sing for the full 4 minutes, it's a fine song for that choice. However, I'm saying no beat yes, just Freeze Frame by itself, beat no by a factor of 2.
Yeah.
With 60 votes, Freeze Frame.
Freeze Frame!
Yeah. Freeze Frame!
Freeze!
It's like a freeze. Yeah, okay, so Freeze Frame wins this one handily. So I think that actually probably counts as yeses. A lot of people agreeing that Freeze Frame is a rad song, at least.
Well, yeah, but that's not a good karaoke song.
No, it's just a rad song.
It's
that's
just
fine.
Rad. Yeah. I'm not arguing that.
No, Everything on Sports by Huey Lewis in the News is a classic, if I'm not mistaken.
That's not on Sports.
It's not?
No.
Oh. Is it even by Huey Lewis in the News?
No.
Oh, no.
Do you even know where you are right now?
No, I don't.
Are you confused?
Oh, God damn, it's by the Jay Giles Band. It's on the same album as Centerfold, and that's where I got confused, because I was like, oh, 2 great songs on one great album. But no, it's from the Jay Giles Band.
Well, I mean, whenever you think great songs, great album, you think Huey Lewis and the News, obviously.
Oh, yeah, you think of their seminal work, Sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving right along. Next question. Pick the worst D&D campaign setting.
This was the most tight, hotly contested one that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. It was between Greyhawk and the lesser-known campaign setting, Greyhawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And between Greyhawk and the other contender, Greyhawk.
Yeah. They never strayed more than 2 votes from each other.
Oh, yeah. They stayed neck and neck the whole time.
Yeah, it was impressive. Now, eventually, the one Greyhawk did win. I think it was the newer, fresher Greyhawk.
Yeah.
Beat Greyhawk. But literally by 2 votes. It's 47 to 45.
Oh yeah, this is definitely one that you could probably give like a recount to.
Yeah, the Supreme Court ultimately had to find in favor of one of these 2 Greyhawks because a lot of people in Florida were complaining that they accidentally voted for a hanging Chad or something.
Yeah,
topical.
Hey, you remember that?
You remember
Chads, right?
You remember hanging Chads? I thought we were going to stay off topic.
Oh yeah, no, those are hung Chads.
Yeah, hung Chads. Sorry. Florida has a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. And this was the big one. This is the the final enchilada, the one that was an actual, the one that led us to start the poll in the first place.
Yeah, the one that is actually something that we disagree on.
Yeah. Oh, I think we also officially disagree on whether or not Freeze Frame is a good karaoke song, but but this one has been a disagreement that has lasted for quite a while. The saddest moment of the Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Is it the slow death of Artax in the swamps of sadness? Is it the lament of the Rockbiter who could not save his family? Or is it some other dumb moment that isn't even sad, you goddamn weirdo?
Huh?
That part where he yells a name that's completely indecipherable out of the window. Yeah, I like to think that he's actually naming his wife or his mom like Sloth or something.
Yeah, he just opens up the window and goes, "Hey, you guys!"
Fantastic moment. He's actually saying Moonchild.
Yeah, which he does not say
he
that.
He does not. I think they told him to yell gibberish because Moonchild was deemed too stupid. And that people were more likely to just substitute a name they like than understand that Moonchild is the name he chose.
Yeah.
Stupid childlike empress getting saddled with Moonchild for a name.
Also, fucking, that was his mom's name?
That was his mom's name.
I can ask a hippie about that.
Right? Oh my gosh. She must have been from California. Anyway, the winner was 72, a staggering, this one didn't just win the plurality, it took home the majority. With 69.9% of the vote, 72 votes, the slow death of Artax in the Swamp of Sorrows. And after that, with 22 votes, 50 less votes, the lament of the Rockbiter who could not save his family.
Now, this one, if I can give a dissenting opinion on.
Oh, of course. By all means, Scalia it up there.
So whenever we ask this, and it's normally in a group of people, it usually gets a decent 50-50 split because I get to argue for it.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, it's people haven't seen this movie in forever, and that's one of the only scenes they can remember from the movie. Because as a kid, you're kind of a big dumb idiot, and all you remember is an animal died. So, if you look in the comments section of our poll, you'll find the clip of the Rockbiter's lament. And I think you'll agree, if you watch it now, that I'm correct.
Now, if I may offer a 30-second rebuttal, for which I will not require 30 seconds.
Yeah.
A horse dies and it's super sad. I mean, it drowns in a swamp and he's yelling at the horse to try and get the horse out of the swamp and the horse just looks at him and dies. It's super sad, you guys. It is so goddamn sad.
It's a dumb horse.
Yeah.
It's a big dumb horse. No okay. one cares.
All right, I think we
should. Maybe if it was a dog. If a dog died in a swamp, I would be like, yeah, I'm on board.
I'm asking the chairman of this debate to please help us move beyond the topic. He's speaking outside of his time.
Can I finish? Can I finish? Hey, remember Topical? Ross Perot?
Ross Perot?
Anybody remember that?
The little withered Buddha of a man?
The man that is more ear than person?
At least he made for great caricatures.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good time period for, like, political cartoonists.
That was a great time for Dana Carvey.
Yeah. Dana Carvey had a good couple of years there.
Yeah, he got some Bush, he got some Perot, he was great.
Yeah, he was having a good, he did some, I think he did a lot of Neil Young.
Yeah, it's
was
good.
Was it Neil Diamond? It's one of the Neils.
It's Neil Young.
It was Neil Young.
Dead dog lying in a ditch. That guy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, great. All right, so there you go. Those are the results of the very first Afterthought poll, where we ask you to tell us the answers to our dumb questions. Is this our last Afterthought poll? No, it was really fun to write. It's easy. So we're totally doing more of these, probably sometime around the next Afterthought, because this time we don't have time to describe our questions.
No, we don't, because we have so many questions to get to.
Let's do it. Let's get over to the Afterthought listener questions.
Afterthought listener questions.
Send us your questions and we'll make fun of you. The end. Da! I like ending my improv songs with the end so that the other person can't get back in.
And that's not the end, you're actually wrong.
All right. Okay. I like the no-but school of improv.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Mike Tyson. No, you're not. I'm Mike Tyson. Get out of here.
Quiet, Oprah. All right, our first question comes to us. Oh, man, I really like this one. It's a great place to start. God. This question comes to us from a young child named Devlin.
Yeah. A little bitty baby of a person.
Oh, just a runt of a man. Just a stripling. named Devlin, and he says, "Hey, gentlemen, love the show." Well, thank you, Devlin. I've been hooked for a while and came up with some questions for you guys. And he separated his questions between RPG and non-RPG. First question, as a 15-year-old nerd, I feel deprived of great tales regarding rifts. Do you mind relaying some of said tales for 15-year-old scrubs like me?
Yeah, so back in the day, we played rifts, and it was a real bad system, but it didn't matter.
Do you want to tell a specific anecdote from your early days of Rift playing?
Let me tell you. So we had discussed before, we had the question about the best characters and worst characters and so on. There's a character you didn't know that I had, because it was back in my Rifts days when we weren't playing together.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the worst character I've ever come up with.
Okay.
It literally is just the worst, dumbest joke of a character.
Believe me, my first Rifts character was named after a serial killer because I thought it was edgy.
Okay. I made a character, not my first. So it wasn't even the, oh, well, you're making a first character. The character I made was called Xavier Charleston.
God damn it, I was drinking.
He came from an alternate Earth where the X-Men stuff was flipped like that. So when he came to this Earth, he decided to adopt the name of Xavier Charleston. That wasn't his real name.
Mm-hmm.
He was a rogue scholar.
Mm-hmm.
He got a hover wheelchair, even though he could walk, just because he thought it was cool. So he had the old X-Men cartoon type hover wheelchair. He was in charge of a mercenary group and made them all wear the Triax plain clothes spandex uniforms.
In a blue and yellow?
Oh yeah, made them dress up essentially X-Men, gave them X-Men call signs, and he was a black guy, and that was it.
Oh, that's a big change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in his world, it was you ever see the movie White Man's Burden?
Yeah.
It was that. That was that world.
Oh, wow.
That he was from.
All right, okay. So let me tell you about my first Rifts character, and I'll tell you a little story about one of his adventures. My first Rifts character was a Titan Cyber Knight, because the first book I ever touched was the conversion book.
Wow.
And I thought that would be normal for me to make a giant, a literal 14-foot-tall, good guy giant Cyber Knight with no cybernetics, because why bother?
No.
He had a physical strength naturally rolled of 40, which we thought was crazy. So he would run around punching the crap out of people, and because I didn't know how to build parties at the time, I was the fourth character to join a party, I was the second Cyber Knight in the party. So we had a human Cyber Knight, a Titan Cyber Knight, a Centaur, and a Dragon.
Oh, good.
What a great party it was. And so, eventually, the Centaur dropped out and died, and then the three of us went to go fight one of those Splugorth sail, or barge
the barges,
things?
Yeah.
Yeah, the barge from the cover of the early Rifts book.
Yeah.
And we started punching on it, and it turned out that none of us, because there wasn't anybody with a boom gun in the party, could do any real damage to the stupid thing. It had like 1,400 MDC. We were looking at it going, all right, we all swing for like 3d6. It will take us a day to deal with this, and it will eventually kill us with all those lasers.
Oh, yeah. The barge itself was the threat. Nothing on the barge mattered.
No,
it was just the barge was a big hunk of MDC.
Yeah, the Alteran blind warrior women it had on it and whatnot. So I had Dahmer, who, again, fought with a Psy sword that did 3d6 plus 18 damage or some stupid thing because of his strength. And I flipped through the book to determine what can I possibly hit this with. And I knew I had some fusion blocks, because that's the kind of high explosive of this game.
Yeah.
I didn't understand quite how explosives work, how fusion blocks were supposed to work. So here's what I did. I dumped out my backpack. I filled it with armed fusion blocks. And then I stuffed that down that hole where the slug monster is in the middle of the sail barge. And we calculated that it did something on the range of 210 D6 damage, because it was all of my fusion blocks.
Yeah.
And blew the thing into a crazy smoking crater. Later on, establishing that you can throw 5 grenades into an area. It doesn't really add 5 grenades worth of damage. An explosion's an explosion.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was a really fun game. I also, at one point, ripped off the gun from one of those UAR-1 Enforcer 30-foot-tall robots, and then shot up through its crotch with its own gun until I killed the guys inside of it.
Good job.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a great game.
Oh, I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
My hover wheelchair had a pop-up Naruni plasma machine gun. So there you go.
I also forgot to mention that my Cyber Knight's name was Dahmer.
Yeah,
that's good. Because I thought it'd be fun to name him after an edgy serial killer, because that's cool. Because that was my nickname back then when I was 13 or 12 or whatever, because Dahmer's first name is also Jeff.
Yay.
Yeah, I wasn't anything like him. I just, people thought it was funny. Anyway, moving along. Second question from this guy. This is the question we were looking forward to. I want to read this. Let's put this in quotes. Here we go. Open quotes. I'm a diehard fan of 3.5 D&D, and I hate that bullshit wish fulfillment special snowflake 4th edition. No offense, please make fun of me. Okay. Do you enjoy 3.5, and why do you enjoy 4th?
Oh, Okay.
Well, let's start with the obvious. I want to excise the phrase, I hate wish fulfillment.
Yeah, that's RPGs.
Why do you hate wish fulfillment, Devlin? Wish fulfillment means I like to sit down and have fun imagination.
Yeah, the wish fulfillment thing, I'm like, oh, so you like it when you sit down and you go, oh man, I really want to be able to do a thing, and then that doesn't happen. That's not a good game.
That's a weird thing to hate. I would recommend reevaluating the fact that you hate wish fulfillment, because wish fulfillment is the whole reason you sit down to roleplay games in the first place.
Breaking it down further, the special snowflake thing, no, the older editions, you were way more of a special snowflake being, say, a wizard, or a caster in general, than you were in 4th edition. The big complaint with 4th edition was that people were too alike in that everyone had powers.
Yeah, it's a weird complaint to make. Honestly, Devlin, I would say a lot of your just off this, I'm going to say, you're 15, you hate bullshit, wish fulfillment, special snowflake, 4th edition. I'm going to guess you've never played it. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you've either played it once or you've never played it, and all that stuff you're saying is stuff that you've heard.
Yeah, it's 100% your DM or whoever has told you, yeah, 4th edition is bullshit, MMO, baby garbage.
Yeah. Let me tell you the big secret here, Devlin. You've been lied to. You've been lied to by a grumpy old guy who didn't want to learn a new edition because his old edition was good enough. Now, I'm not saying 4th edition is great, because one of the tenets here of System Mastery is we don't get into the edition wars. They're both fine. We actually both played a lot of 3.5 edition, and we thought it was okay. I never really ran into that whole quadratic wizard problem, because why bother? You always stop playing by the time you're like 7th level.
Oh yeah, well, I think I was the only caster in our group, and I was a wizard cleric, so I had half the spell level in both.
Yeah.
So that kept my power in check.
So I had a great time playing 3.5. I had a great time playing 4th edition. Really, the only reason we take offense to your question is because everything you said about 4th edition is wrong and clearly derived from standard complaints made by idiots.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, the only problem we have is you're dumb and bad and should feel bad about how dumb you are.
John wants to make fun of you because you told us to, which is fun. Fine with me. And I also assume that you're like a pasty, nerdy string bean who doesn't know what from what. Anyway, moving right past it. Really, the answer is 4th edition is a fine game. Almost everything you said about 4th edition doesn't make any sense. It's a wish fulfillment game. I would say that the game that has the wish spell in it is a wish fulfillment game. And that would be 3.5 D&D. 4th edition doesn't have a wish spell.
Yay.
Okay, so one of the games has your wishes being fulfilled and the other one does not. Which one is wish fulfillment?
Beyond
that, it's a more balanced game. Wish fulfillment he's right. Special Snowflake describes the one guy playing the wizard in 3.5. It describes everybody in 4th edition. If someone's got to be a special snowflake, it should be everyone.
No, come on.
So
this
is balanced.
This is like Syndrome, when everyone's special, nobody is.
Yeah.
So that's... And that, again, is a almost valid complaint that some people had.
Yeah, why don't we do this? Why don't we say what the actual valid... Let's do a service to the grognards that listen to us and to Devlin. If you want to complain about 4th edition because you hate fun and you think wish fulfillment is a bad idea, and you believe that you need to earn any tiny bit of fun you have by crawling or dragging it out of a DM who's trying harder to hold it to you than like Gollum holding onto the precious, here are the actual arguments against 4th edition.
Here are the real talking points for why you argue against 4th edition.
Okay, number one, the first monster manual was broken and the combat didn't work.
Yeah, the first two were just terrible. They ended up having to have half as many hit points and twice as much damage because combat just took forever.
Yes. So there was a major problem with early edition, or the first two monster manuals, that they didn't get the math right and they made the characters boring. Second complaint. They had a problem where they tried to fix certain math mistakes they made in the progression by putting in feats.
Yeah, you had to take expertise or else your math ended up not being correct for how to hit.
What they should have done instead is said at 5th, 10th, and 15th level, you get a +1 to hit. It's an errata that we put in to make you balanced against the monsters. Instead, they made it into a feat that you had to take. So that was a mistake.
Yep.
So there's another complaint about actual 4th edition D&D. Third complaint. Mike Morales took over 4th edition D&D late in its development run and tried to turn it back into 3rd edition D&D.
The Essentials line.
Yes. He did that by stripping everything that made fighters interesting away from them and adding a bunch more stuff to wizards.
Yeah, he turned them back into a basic auto attack machine and then went, oh, and wizards get more cool stuff.
So there was a point where 4th edition tapered off because they were trying internally to kill it.
Yeah, and the complaint against wizard the class was also fairly decent because they had no idea
how to write how to do a controller.
He was the only one in the book, and you could tell they didn't really know what controller meant yet.
Yeah. So there are valid complaints against 4th edition. We aren't the biggest champions of 4th edition, and you shouldn't be, because there are a lot of mistakes. There are a lot of classes that didn't receive appropriate support. Some of them because the game line died, so all the psionic classes, for example, didn't get enough support.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a good, fine game. Here's another complaint that you consistently hear about it. It requires a mat. Well, so does 3.5. Look in the 3.5 player's handbook, and it tells you you need a mat to play it.
Yeah. It says, yeah, you should have a mat to play this. Put figures down. Represent your people.
Yeah, it's just... So anyway, we gave you the real complaints, Devlin. Take them, go forth, continue hating 4th edition. We don't give a shit. But just be happy that what happened is that some DM took you aside and made you hate the 3.5 edition instead of taking you aside and molesting you in a garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. If one terrible thing happened to you when you were 15, at least it was a relatively simple
one. When some guy took you into a garage and was all gross and sweaty, just be thankful that he was actually telling you to roll a die.
Yeah, there you go. So there you go, Devlin. Now, he has some non-RPG-related questions as well. And the first one, I'm going to leave open to interpretation, because I have no idea what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
If you were a fictional character based on nothing but instinct, who would you be?
Well, I mean, I guess Tarzan? If I was just based on a fictional character that was based on nothing but instinct.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe a xenomorph?
I'm going to go with Benji. But here's, I think you might mean based on our instinct.
First instinct I would be as a fictional character.
Word association, who was your first, let's do it that way, let's do word association. John, first fictional character to your mind, go.
Well, I mean, now it's just Charles Xavier because I was mentioning that dumb bullshit character from before.
Alright, mine's Xena.
Oh my god, I don't know if I want to see you in the Xena costume instead at Pride.
It was just the first word that came to my mind, and it's too late, I'm already Darth Sodomite.
Damn it.
Okay, so there you go. And then the second one, what tree are you?
A lodge.
I'm going to go with Doran the Siege Tower.
The lodge.
The lodge.
The lodge.
No, I'm still going with Doran the Siege Tower. You can't Monty Python your way out of this one. But yeah, I'm going to go with a magic card tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Because you want Ents? Because this is how you get Ents.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Devlin. Good questions. Don't worry. We aren't going to make fun of you too bad. You tiny little nobody.
Yep. Yeah. Good job.
Okay. Next question comes to us from Kaylin. And this is a fun one to read out loud. Hey, I was wondering, what is your preferred pancake topping? Also, what is your preferred waffle topping? And which topping would win in a fight between the answers to the previous question?
Okay, so best pancake topping, obviously, is Jägermeister, I think, is the best pancake topping.
So we aren't being serious, is what I'm doing. Yeah, John is a pancake aficionado.
I love me some pancakes. It's one of the only things I can cook.
Yeah, so I think he probably has a real answer to this. Mine is just butter and syrup. I don't want to mess with the classic. I love a pancake with butter and syrup.
You know the weird thing for me is? I never put butter on my pancakes. And it's how I can tell how much I'll like a pancake is whether or not it actually needs butter.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there are some pancakes that are a little dry, a little too crisp on the top.
Okay. Yeah.
And you just need some butter. I prefer to just have syrup.
I prefer syrup.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Christopher Rock.
Christopher, what do you think his middle name is? Quarry.
Yeah. But for waffles, cherries.
Cherries.
I love cherry topping on a waffle.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically just pie filling. Give me cherry pie filling on a waffle.
Mine is a scoop of ice cream.
On
a thick waffle, I like a scoop of ice cream on a thick waffle, and then another thick waffle on that. That's my favorite ice cream sandwich in the world. A waffle ice cream sandwich, hot waffles, cold ice cream. Love it. I don't really... Given the choice between pancakes and waffles, I always take pancakes. I like them better. So when I have waffles, it's for some kind of special reason. The only other thing that can change that for me is if it's a cheese waffle. I love a sharp cheddar cheese waffle.
That's weird. You're weird.
They're really good. With butter and a little bit of salt, they're so good. You should try one.
All right. Well, sure. Why not?
Okay. Great.
And a fight between the answers. I'm pretty sure that pie filling is going to beat syrup.
Well, except it's the previous question. So it's which between pie...
Between cherry pie filling and the larch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the answer is the larch.
Okay, so there you have it. The larch beats cherry pie filling in an uncontested fight. I guess. All right. Thanks, Caitlin. Next question comes to us from Mark W. This is a question for Afterthought, he says, and it's because we have the new show, The Movie Mastery.
Yeah.
And he says, I've noticed a pretty big overlap in people who like both RPGs and mocking terrible movies. Why do you think that is? Is it because we were all nerds raised on MST3K, or because, as tabletop role players, we're fairly used to being amused by terrible acting?
Well, I think specifically anyone who's doing RPG stuff, you end up having an appreciation for dumb stories because you encounter that a lot. Like you had mentioned, the bad acting, you're going to have people that are just terrible role players at your table. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And... but I don't think you need to be an RPG player to appreciate a really good bad movie.
I'll tell you this much. I know why we have the podcast based around bad movies, because reviewing good movies in a podcast is terrible.
Well, yeah. If you're just sitting around and going, well, the mise-en-scene was excellent, and the cinematography in this was inspired.
Yeah. Being able to just go crazy and make fun of actors who are no longer around is the greatest reason to get into these things, which is why I want to really do, like, James Mason movies and stuff. I'd be like, fuck this classically trained British actor.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Next question's going to come to us from John. Not you.
Aw.
Some other John.
But where's my question?
Why
are you such a tool, I have Jeff?
It's my upbringing. All right. This one actually addresses us as the Cheese Dudes, which is fine. It's okay. We'll accept that, although the Cheese Dudes are a restaurant that we...
They are a... we are a wholly owned subsidiary of the Cheese Dudes.
A conglomerate. Yeah. So there you go. The Marvin and Wendy slash Zan and Jaina reference was the first one I have understood completely. I was too old for Transformers. TMNJ, which I think is indicates that he's an introvert.
Yeah.
Although I did have the black and white comics, of which Raphael was the best. No question, actually. The black and white comics, Raphael was the best.
I have the third and fourth of the original black and white run of the Turtles comics.
Yeah.
And that shit is amazing.
It's really goddamn good. Or G.I. Joe. I am 45 and clearly too old to be listening to content from such strapping young lads as yourself. I'm 35. You're doing fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Have I wasted my life?
I mean, obviously. You're listening to us.
We all waste our lives. That is the human condition.
Yeah.
No one has ever lived a full life. No one is ever remembered by more than four generations to succeed them. We are all dust.
Gaze upon my works, ye mighty, and despair.
Yeah. Please answer in an afterthought, or better yet, post a poll. Okay, have I wasted my life? We'll go into the next poll.
Great.
Okay, actually, has John wasted his life? We'll go into the next poll. And with a parenthesis to indicate that it's not you. It's our listener who sent in the question. Okay, next question. We're going to go to... I've got one here from your friend.
Oh, good.
An actual friend of yours who asks, but when he saw our post on the marriage dispute on Twitter and said, but when will marriage equality for giant talking hot dogs happen?
Well, this is, of course, a very sensitive topic for me, being a giant cartoon talking hot dog.
I know, and it's sad that you can't get married, except you're not the Marian type. You never have been.
Well, it's not about whether I personally want to. It's about the right to. That's what the struggle is.
Absolutely true, yeah.
Yeah, it's for equality. All I really want is to be able to have the little hot puppies come out from all of our adopted hot dog children's.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the problem is there's always that, like, oh, well, if we allow hot dogs to marry, then soon they'll be marrying ovens. And I'm like, come on, man, you know that... while, yes, hot dogs and ovens have a weird relationship, we're not going to marry them anytime soon. You have to be consenting, and everyone knows ovens can't consent.
It's true. And now, speaking personally, I am also curious as to when 10-year-old girls are going to be open to getting married. Because while you're a cartoon hot dog, I'm a 10-year-old girl, and don't I deserve love?
I think...
Don't 10-year-old girls deserve love and sexual comfort?
Don't they? I mean, we've seen Interview with a Vampire. We know that 10-year-old girls are just as mature as anyone else.
It's true. God, that's such a hard question. Oh my god. All right, okay, let's finish these off. I thought we were going to skip a few, but I don't care if we go over today. We're having fun.
Meh.
This one's from Lawrence. I'm starting a D&D game for a small group of my friends. I'll be DMing, and the other three will be playing. Well, that's probably good.
Yeah.
However, because we are a small group, and I'm both using pre-published adventures and letting everyone pick whatever class they want, I'm pretty sure we're going to have holes in our party's strengths. It doesn't look like we're going to have a healer, for instance. I'm going to patch these with NPCs that I'll be essentially running as DM PCs. So two questions. First, do you have any hilarious horror stories about DMs running PCs with the rest of the party?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one, but you go ahead.
We had a paladin that was my good friend Jake's DM PC that ran with the party in everything, and he most of the time would end up being, like, the biggest badass in the group as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because he was like, let me give a bunch of advantages to him, but because the paladin was just better than the rogue or the barbarian that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we... No particular horror stories, although, again, he did end up taking a lot of screen time for just, and now here's the love story of the DMPC, and you're like, okay.
I had a DM who ran an NPC that solved all the puzzles if the players didn't get to them within the first 3 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
And he would do them by just walking through walls and shit. So he was like, he was this guy who was with us, and the DM wouldn't tell us what his class was, and they just told us his name was, like, Gray or something simple like that.
Ugh.
And he was literally just walking Deus Ex Machina. And so every game we'd be like, all right, you guys come to a room, and there's a puzzle in here, and it's based on the scales of musical notes. And we'd be like, dude, none of us are musicians here. None of us are going to be able to solve your dumb puzzle. Okay, Gray walks through a wall, and then he solves the puzzle in the following way that doesn't make any sense that I made up a minute ago.
Huh.
Okay, and then the door opens. I'm like, great. Oh, God, I hate you, Gray. Everyone hates Gray. The worst part was that he would fight. He was there to solve puzzles and also to get in fights with his superpowers.
Sweet.
Just awful. Okay, so second, any tips for doing this well?
The best thing to do with any DMBC is never personally make him the spotlight. The biggest thing you can do with a DMPC is to have him around, and then if the players want to interact with him, if they want to bring him into the game, let the players do that, give them a personality, make it so that they feel real, but don't make them protagonists.
Yeah.
Don't give them a personality that is, I have a specific goal, and I have a tragic, heroic backstory, and you should all be following me. Have them have a personality that's going to mesh with being able to be on the back burner for a while.
Right. My trick to designing DMPCs is that I never design them as PCs. I design them as NPCs. They have a block of hit points, they have their defenses, and then they have, like, a standard, an encounter, a daily, an at-will. They're done. Like, 3, maybe 4 powers, and that's a 4th edition D&D character. Using any other rules, it's whatever the rules are, I give them a couple of tricks. I don't give them the full suite of what a character gets, because they don't need it. I know how much fun it is to design a character, but the more I put into that DMPC, the more I want to use it.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't put it in.
Yeah, if you spend a lot of time designing a character, especially if you're one of those people that naturally trends towards optimization,
yeah,
you're going to make someone that has a decent enough chance of overshadowing the actual players.
Right.
So don't do that. If you're going to make a healer for your party, make a guy who literally just heals. He's got a basic attack, but don't have him be like, and then he pulls out some crazy bullshit spell and totally saves the day, because then your players are going to go, oh, well, all right, good job, I guess.
Yeah. So it's not that simple. It's relatively simple. Just don't make them the spotlight yourself. Your players might like them. Your players might drag them into the spotlight. God, did we remember Stryker McGonagall?
Oh, yeah. Stryker McGonagall is an NPC that we, as the players, were determined
to drag into existence.
To drag into everything.
Yeah. And he was a city guard in one of our friends' campaigns. And he didn't even have a name, but one of us was like, oh, could his name be Stryker McGonagall?
And the second he was like, yeah, sure, his name is Stryker McGonagall. Well, now Stryker McGonagall is a loose cannon.
Yeah. Stryker McGonagall wrecked 20 cars.
You wrecked 20 horses!
But I get results, guard captain.
You burned down 20 thatched roof cottages!
Leave your badge and your sword! Both swords! And the battle axe! Stryker! So yeah.
I got the king riding my ass.
Yeah.
What?
So yeah, be cautious about building them. But if your players like them, they'll drag them in and do the work for you about turning them into a real character.
Yeah.
Okay. The final question from Lawrence: what happened with Jeff and that horse? I'll make it simple. When I was 6 or 7, I was at a pony ranch. I got on a mean pony named Fatty. The pony bucked me off somewhere along the trail, stomped a hole through my gut, and then ran away.
Good.
And since then, I've been half terrified, half angry at all things that look like ponies.
It's because ponies are known assholes.
Ponies,
so, yeah.
Ponies are known assholes. I shouldn't have been near one, and it was not a good weekend for me, because the day before, I got a hole stomped in my stomach and had to go to the hospital because of a pony. I had to go to the hospital because I knocked part of my finger off with a sledgehammer. So I was in the hospital twice in 2 days. I have a lot of memories from that time period.
That's good.
Yeah, there you go. That's why I don't like horses. Okay, two more. Let's go through these real quick here. One from Infocorn. This is because I asked her absurd would-you-rathers. It was my fault. Would you rather yinch a glopf dlrom with the Zon or Devon for an entire juckalish? Okay, I'm going to stick to Zon. Zon's a recognizable word in there. I would rather dlrom with the Steve Zon. I don't know what dlroming is, but Steve Zon seems like he'd be fun to hang out with.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'd rather yinish a glopf. That sounds like a pretty decent thing I'd get at a Jewish deli.
Yeah, I could yinish a nice glopf.
Yeah, come on. Give me a good glopf. Put a yinish on there.
There you go. All right, where meanwhile I'm going to dlrom with the Zon.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's more than one person named Zon, but when it's the Zon, it's Steve.
Yeah.
It's not Timothy in his stupid Star Wars books.
That's bullshit.
It's Steve.
Good.
Okay,
I'm glad we could settle that pretty quickly.
That was easy. That was easy. No one wants to Devon for an entire juggalish. I mean, are you kidding me?
Come on.
A whole one?
No.
No one's... half a juggalish, maybe.
I just accidentally a whole juggalish.
Is that bad? Okay, last one from Oliver. Would you rather answer bad afterthought questions or play a session of Fatal?
Afterthought questions
forever.
Afterthought
questions. No one's ever played a session of Fatal. No one ever will. You get 8 minutes into creating your character and you'd put the book down.
Yep. And then you go, hey, you know what? What's better than this? Anything. Let's do anything.
Yeah, let's do literally nothing. Nothing is better than this. Let's do nothing.
All right.
There you go. Those are all the questions. I think we have a few more things to cover.
Yeah, we can go through them real quick. We have gone a little long on this one, but that's fine. It's free. Who cares?
I don't give a shit.
And speaking of free...
Yeah, why don't we talk real briefly about that? Because I am worried that people might be concerned about how our payment structure works over on Patreon. If you're a Patreon supporter, we love you. We want everyone to know the way that this works.
Because especially now that we've got 3 podcasts that we're putting out.
4. We were at 4.
Well, 3 podcasts that we put out and 1 bonus material.
Yeah. We're making a ridiculous amount of material at this point. So when I set up the Patreon, I set it up on a per podcast basis.
Because you're a big dumb idiot.
Because it made sense and because it recommended that on the Patreon site. I didn't realize I was going to double our output of podcasts like 2 months later. So at the moment, the way the Patreon works is we only charge for the System Mastery episodes. The episode's called System Mastery.
Yeah, right now you aren't being charged anything for Afterthought or the new Movie Mastery podcasts.
Yeah, the only thing that we charge, if you're a Patreon supporter, you probably get dinged twice a month for the first and second episodes of the Patreon show.
Yeah, so you can subscribe for as little as $1 for an episode, which is $2 a month. Which is just pennies a day. You too can support these starving podcast artists.
Let the record show that John literally put down a Jumbo Jack while he was saying that. I'm kidding. You didn't. You had a Jumbo Jack.
I had already eaten
the Jumbo Jack.
Come on.
Is long gone.
Like a Jumbo Jack would survive an hour-long podcast with me.
By now you're starving.
It's been almost an hour since I've eaten a Jumbo Jack. My dearest Beatrice, I have been on the front lines for near an hour now, and I have been without a Jumbo Jack.
Please send strong sting for my boots and a Jumbo Jack. Oh, God. Anyway, the point is, the only episodes on the Patreon that we charge for are the System Mastery episodes. You aren't getting dinged 4 times a month.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Everything else is free. I should probably change it to a monthly payment. I know I probably should do that, but I am cowardly and know that if I do that, our current contributions would literally cut in half.
Aw.
So that's sad. That's why we're keeping it. But don't worry about all these Afterthought episodes. They're just free bonus stuff that we do because it's fun. It's the same thing with the Movie Mastery, and it's the same sort of the same thing with the bonus Patreon content.
Yeah. So, and if you didn't know, if you are a Patreon supporter, we have started doing bonus content where we will create characters in the system that we have just reviewed.
Yeah, we just did Ravenstar's characters, which was the gayest of things.
Yeah, we had Captain Beef Dip and Big Toot Sweet.
Yeah, a big bear and a big cat.
Yep.
I wish that game had otters.
Right?
I know. There you go. So, those exist. Just letting you know. Finally, I have a plug.
A big old plug.
So we're gonna do a nice friendly plug for a contributor to the podcast in a way.
In a way.
In a very specific way.
In a very special way.
Yeah. Our friend, who has listened to the podcast and does not hate us.
So that counts as being a friend.
I mean, probably doesn't hate us. He might just hate us quietly.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that I hate and just won't mention.
Yeah.
Like your face, your big dumb fucking face.
But you just did. You mentioned it.
Oh no, I've broken my first rule.
The pact. I knew my face was big and dumb and fucking. Alright, so anyway, we want to support Lewis Porter Jr.
Lewis Porter Jr., you may remember from such things as Haven,
City of Violence,
and the supplement for Haven, City of Violence,
Path of Rage. He has gone on to have a real career. So,
yeah, he made actual stuff.
We kind of thought when we read Haven that this guy was going to get that done and be done. But no, he had a drive and a dream, and he got a lot better. And nowadays, he's one of the major writers for Pathfinder. He does a ton of third-party Pathfinder supplements, and he's doing quite well, very successful at it. Certainly 1,000 times more successful than we are, so good on you, buddy.
Yeah, he's got a Kickstarter up right now with about a week left to go.
Yeah, when we post this, there will be 1 week left for his campaign setting called Neo Exodus, which I'm still trying to put my finger around how it's a paean to Babylon 5, it says.
Yeah, it mentions that it's some sort of fantasy version of Babylon 5, and maybe I would know how it does that if I had watched or cared about Babylon 5.
Well, okay, let's assume that maybe all the spaceships in Neo Exodus have terrible CGI.
Oh, okay.
That could probably be it. But
there's
anyway,
just really terrible hairstyles throughout all of Neo Exodus.
Must be. Neither of us have actually been big Pathfinder players, but the art looks amazing and the story looks really good. It really looks like a major step up from what we've discussed with Lewis before, but it looks like good stuff, so by all means, Lewis helped put us on the map, because Haven was one of our big early episodes, and it drew a lot of attention and started getting us actual listeners. So we've always really appreciated him and his early crazy works, so we'd like people to go out and support his current, stable, regular works.
Yeah.
His good new stuff. So, just so you know, you can find it by going to Kickstarter and looking for Neo Exodus. When this goes live, there will be 1 week left. They're currently at around $8,500, but by then, hopefully they'll have hit their next couple of goals, which I think are at $9,000 and $12,000. All kinds of good stuff there. And Lewis, if you're listening, this is because we love you, buddy. This isn't because we're trying. This is literal. We think you're great.
Yeah.
Yep.
This isn't sarcastic at all.
No, it's just a speech impediment we've got.
God damn it.
Couldn't make it. I couldn't do it. But seriously, though, go support Lewis Porter Jr. And you got anything else you want to add?
Not really. Just remember that you can go on the iTunes and Stitcher where you find us and rate and review us. It's great. Lets other people find us. And if other people find us, that's awesome. If you like the show, recommend it to your big nerdy friends. If you don't like the show, recommend it to the nerdy friends you don't like.
Yeah, and don't forget, we still have Cheese Dudes and regular System Mastery Podcast t-shirts for sale over on TeePublic. And I think we've spent 7 minutes advertising now, which is ridiculous, so let's be done.
Okay, fine.
All right, we're done. Yeah, by all means. Oh, comments, though. Leave us comments and questions. There's all kinds of places you can do it. Facebook, SystemMasteryPodcast.com, Twitter, Gmail, whatever. You know how to find us, so by all means, send us your comments, send us your questions for next week's Afterthought.
Yeah, ask us questions about our childhood, and what happened, and where on the doll we were touched by the horse.
Yeah, a horse touched me right on the doll. All right. Thank you, and have a lovely week.